The shepherds along in their fields, alone in the fields. The shepherds terrified. The shepherds awaiting the good shepherd.
If someone else were writing the story of Christmas, the shepherds may have been included for comic relief. A few rough blue-collar guys to anchor the fantastic plot in reality. But God honors shepherds. King David was a shepherd and the promised Messiah. Born that night, not far away, was the greatest shepherd of all. These guys were no joke to the angels who brought the birth announcement. Yes, the shepherds were scared when the darkness exploded in light all around them. Who wouldn't be? But they heard the message, and they believed it. The Messiah has come. And after they found the baby, they were the first to tell the story of Christmas. The one we're still telling today.
Join us and rise for our opening songs.
We come praising you this morning as wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts, O Lord, because you know us. You know us each by name, and you have provided salvation for us. You have come into the darkness of our lives and into the darkness of our world, shining your light, a light that saves, a light that brings hope, a light that brings daily strength into our lives amidst the troubles and trials of life. So we thank and praise you, O Lord, this morning. May our hearts be blessed. May we be filled with your grace and love as we are in this place and as we go forth from this place, O Lord. Fill us with that thanksgiving and praise, for you are deserving of all praise and glory. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you on this Lord's Day in the season of Advent as we gather together to worship Jesus. We'd like to extend a special welcome to Reverend David and Blanca Giffords, who are here this morning with us. David will be bringing the message. Following the service, there's going to be a Sunday school time you all are invited to hear about their ministry. And one change for the kids, we're going to do a short children's message up here before you follow the flag. So just know that the kids will come up here before then. If you are a visitor with us, I want to invite you to the visitor desk after the service. We have a gift for you, a little information about our church. And again, if you have any other questions, give me a call this week. We can meet for coffee as well. Receive the Lord's greeting from 2 Corinthians 13. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's greet each other.
We have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Oh, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Christ the Lord, a newborn King. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Yeah. elect shall Israel. Oh, 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 oh.
Isaiah 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. O come, Emmanuel.
Our response comes from John 1. It'll be on the screen in a second here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being is in the light, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was the light, and the world came to being through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to what was His own, and His own did not accept Him. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God,
born not of blood, or the will of flesh, or the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen His glory, the glory of the light and sun, full of grace and truth.
I love when Jesus is referred to as the light. As you've heard, R.C. Sproul passed away this last week, and he made many one-liner comments, but one of them was the reason we're afraid of the dark is because we're meant to be in the light. Christ is the light, and He calls us to Himself, right? Just an interesting way to think about the light of the world, Christ Jesus Himself. At this time, I want to invite the kids forward. So the kids, you'll sit around here for the children's message. I know it's a little different than we usually do. And when Blanca is done, you can follow the flag to children in worship. So if the kids would come forward at this time. All right, let me get a mic.
Buenos días, niños y niñas. You don't understand? Good morning, boys and girls. That was in Spanish. My name is Blanca Gifford. I am one of your missionaries with my husband, Dave, in Mexico. And we live in Mexico City, which is a humongous city, 21 million people. It's more than double the size of Chicago. So it's huge. And but we love being there. We love working there. You know, we try to do our best to share the gospel with the people. And one of the things that I work in my work is that I work with kids, just like you. I work with, I have a kids club on Saturdays. And kids from the community where we work, they come. They are very poor. They don't have much. But they want to know more and more about Jesus. And because they have never heard about the whole truth from the Bible before. And so I want to tell you something. Who likes treasures? Yeah. Well, I think everybody likes treasures. And you might ask, what is that chest doing here, that colorful chest? Well, I'm going to open it. Well, just like you guys, kids in Mexico, they love treasures. And so I want to ask you, and I want you guys to pay attention. You know, there are many things here. And as I get things out, I want you to tell me which one will be the greatest treasure. You hear me? The greatest treasure for the kids that come to Kids Club, okay? Okay, well, music is a big part in Mexico, a I mean for everybody. We have mariachis, and the guys wear these kind of hats, you know, and they play the guitars, and kids want to do that too. So anybody wants to wear a hat? There you go. Okay, there is one more from the back. Okay. You guys can share later. Anyway, but they love their mariachi music. And for birthdays and Mother's Day and Christmas and any event, we sing mariachi music. And those guys wear those colorful hats. Well, that can be music. That's a big treasure there. Now, a nice warm blanket. That's another treasure because their houses don't have heaters, okay? Food, oh, that's a big thing there. You see, you can have tacos, okay? Or rice and beans, you know, to fill their tummies. You know, I have kids in Kids Club that come hungry, so we have to provide a whole meal for them because they don't eat, they don't have enough food at home. And more tacos or quesadillas. And of course, in Mexico, all food had a lot of chili pepper, okay? Who would like to eat chicken feet? Yeah? Oh, well, do you hear that, moms? Okay, you know what to buy at the store. Well, in Mexico, the kids love chicken feet, okay? They put it in a cup, and they eat it like French fries. Like that. Yeah. And, of course, kids love toys, lots of toys. This is a trompo, and we have a Mexican doll, okay? And they have all sorts of toys. Okay? And of course, candy. Well, these candies have chili pepper. I don't think you will like it. They love soccer. Who plays soccer in here? Yeah, oh, great. Well, that's one of the main sports in Mexico. And people like to go to the stadium to see the games. And so when they go, and thousands of people are in the stadium, everybody carry one of this. Yeah, and to cheer up their team. And they go like that. Can you imagine thousands of this going at the same time? That's kind of loud, but we love it. Well, what else? We have more candies, but they have chili pepper, guys, okay? And we have the flag of Mexico. Okay, that's the flag of Mexico. And we have a children's Bible in Spanish. And also, of course, let's not forget money. Now, from all the things that you saw, which one do you think is the greatest treasure for the kids? Yes. The Bible. Okay, who else?
The doll.
The what?
The doll.
Oh, the doll. Oh, yeah, for the girls. Yes.
The money.
The money, yeah. Mm-hmm. Food, okay. Who else? Yes.
Candy.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of these are good treasures, and they love every single one. But you know, the kids that come to Kids Club, the Bible is the greatest treasure. You at home probably have tons of Bibles. Mommy might have three, and Dad another two, and you guys have Bibles. But the kids there, they don't have Bibles at home. So when they come to Kids Club, they open a Bible, and they can read the stories for the first time. And they really want one because they want to know more about God. about the love that Jesus has given them, and they know that they are important, that they are special. So this is a great treasure. You know, even Jesus said something similar. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like a guy who went on a field and he found a treasure. And when he found it, he hid it, and he went and bought, sell everything that he owned to go and buy that field to own that treasure. And so for my kids, there was a girl. Just quickly, I'll tell you, there was this little girl. Her mom was saving money to buy this toy that she wanted. And when she saw the Bible for the first time, she told, "Mom, don't buy me that toy. I want a Bible." And so you can see that it's so important. Would you guys remember in your prayers or when you have devotions at home to pray for the kids in Mexico? Would you? That they can learn more about Jesus and that they can own a Bible so they can read it and that their parents would come to know Jesus also? Yeah? Okay, great. Okay, at the count of three, we are going to say Mexico for Jesus, okay? Okay, one, two, three. Mexico for Jesus. Great, guys. Thank you. Now you can go back to your seats.
The kids, you can follow the flag, the children in worship. Kind of have you going back and forth there. And we want to welcome at this time as well Reverend David Giffords, who wasn't able to be with us in September, a little knee break. You can talk about that a bit. We're glad to have you both here today. So Reverend David, if you'd come forward.
Good morning. Oh, there we go. That's better. You've said good morning so many times to everybody, you can't say it for me, huh? Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, great. Well, late in time, behold them come. We were supposed to be here in mid-September, and we weren't able to make it. I fell down a flight of stairs and sprained my ankle and fractured my fibula, but I had to wear an air boot for about a month, and so I got to one church, which was very formal, we had to wear robes as preachers and everything, and we walked into the narthex, and I had my big, clunky air boot on, and this one lady raised her eyebrow and said, "Does that affect your preaching?" And I said, "Only when I put my foot in my mouth." Well, it's wonderful for Blanca and I to finally be with you. We're your missionaries with Resonate Global Mission in Mexico City. And we're really grateful to be here and enjoy your hospitality. And thank you for opening up your pulpit to me as well. And we want to thank you for your support and prayers. So we've been missionaries with Resonate Global Mission in Mexico City for 12 years now. This is our fourth home service tour. And we're coming down to the end of our tour now. And we're really grateful for the support and encouragement and prayers and hospitality in so many ways in which so many people have been a blessing to us. And so we're grateful for you, and we're grateful that we have a chance to be an extension of your ministry. We are Crossroads Fellowship's representatives in Mexico City, and we see you as our prayer team and our ministry team as well. We thank you that this is a collaboration. Our scripture passage is Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15. I'll be reading from the New International Version. I think that's the one you have in your pews. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for bringing us safely here and bringing us together in your name to worship you, to praise you, and now to listen to you, and very soon to respond. Lord, we pray now you'll give us attentive ears, but also hearts ready to reply to your grace with our gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before we continue, I just want to mention, I hope we had a video that we were going to show, but technical difficulties intervene. But we do have a presentation and a question and answer time for you in the library, so right by the fireplace there. So I'm going to get my a robe and a pipe and sit down on one of those nice comfy chairs. And no, but we'd love to share with you after the service, so we hope you can come for that. Okay, hear the word of the Lord. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. It's Advent, right? It's Christmas time. How come we're not reading a Christmas passage? Or at the very least, this guy's a missionary coming on home service. You'd think he'd be preaching from a famous missions passage like the Great Commission or something like that. Why is he preaching on the Lord's Prayer, of all things? Well, with regard to Advent, turns out that the Lord's Prayer is really a fitting prayer for the Advent season. Because Advent traditionally has been about both of the comings of Jesus Christ to our world. The time he came as a little baby 2,000 years ago, incarnated to come to save us and initiate his kingdom. And then the second coming, which is still to come, when he establishes that kingdom completely. And so it's very fitting that this prayer that our Lord taught us, which longs for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, to be on our lips during the Advent season. Now, with regard to missions, let me just share a few of my motives for preaching on the Lord's Prayer this Sunday. One reason is that Jesus gave us this prayer as a model prayer for his disciples to pray every day. There's the line, give us this day our daily bread. And so the idea is that we would be praying this prayer every day, regularly. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands to see how many of you use the Lord's Prayer in your daily devotions. But if you're not, I want to encourage you to do so. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I imagine you want to do what Jesus tells us to do, to use this prayer as a model prayer for our daily prayer. Now, I have a self-serving reason for wanting to preach on the Lord's Prayer. If I can get you to remember, if I can get you to pray the Lord's Prayer every day, and if I can get you to remember my sermon on the Lord's Prayer, then every time you pray the Lord's Prayer every day, you'll think of us and our ministry, and you'll take a moment to pray for us too. See how sneaky I am? But seriously, the main reason that I'm preaching on the Lord's Prayer is that this prayer is a missionary prayer, believe it or not. It's a prayer that has a global vision. And it's sad because so many people, the way we intone, the way we use this prayer and vocalize this prayer tends to obscure its meaning and its beauty. And it's such a shame. Now, I'm not sure whether we need to change the wording of the Lord's Prayer like Pope Francis has recently suggested. His point is well taken. He mentions the petition, lead us not into temptation. When you read it like that, lead us into temptation, it sounds as if God is in the habit of setting us into tempting situations on purpose in order to tempt us. The book of James says that God can't be tempted and that he tempts no one. And so it's not fair to say God is putting us into temptation, leading us into that. And that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, basically we're saying, you know, God, can you just stop doing that, please? That's not really what's happening. But we as Reformed Christians believe that God is sovereign over all things. God is in control, and he controls the situations that we can get into. And so we know that he permits things sometimes, but other times he keeps us safe and protects us. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying that God in sovereign control will keep us out of the situations that will be roadblocks for us. We're praying that he will encaminarnos, that he will lead us into the situations that are best for us. So I'm not sure if we need to change the wording of that petition as Pope Francis does, but at the very least, we need to be able to pray this prayer with understanding and with belief. And so I'm hoping to uncover some of the beauty and some of the meaning of this prayer for you so that we can all renew our interest in this prayer. And like I said, if we can get you to pray this prayer every day, then I know that you'll be praying not only for us in our ministry, but for the transformation of our world. Now, I have a confession to make. I became a Christian when I was in high school. And I remember reading the Lord's Prayer and hearing it in church for the first time as a new Christian. And I thought that Jesus could have done a better job at that point in my life. I thought Jesus could have done a better job at coming up with the model prayer for the ideal prayer for his disciples to pray every day. I mean, think about all the things that are not mentioned in the Lord's Prayer. Doesn't mention the cross or the resurrection. Doesn't mention the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mention the church. Doesn't mention love or unity. Doesn't mention salvation, conversion, justification. It doesn't even thank God for anything. It just asks for stuff. And of the stuff that it asks God for, one bread gets an entire line. I'm diabetic, type 2, and even when I pray, I have to watch my carbs. And in the Gospel of Matthew, right before the prayer, Jesus teaches us not to pray with vain repetitions as the pagans did. But what I saw as a new believer was so many Christians just prayed the Lord's Prayer on autopilot, just repeating it and not really thinking about it, just mouthing the words. And so I thought, that was such a hypocrisy. And many don't even know what they're saying when they pray it. Hallowed be thy name. The only other time we use the word hallowed is at Halloween. And so I confess, as a new believer, as a young Christian, I wasn't too crazy about the Lord's Prayer. I thought it was overrated. But as I investigated this passage for the Gospels class that I teach in Mexico at the seminary where I teach, I began to discover that this really is a wonderful, perfect prayer for every Christian to pray. And so this morning I'm hoping to take us through the theology behind the Lord's Prayer, and then we want to look at the structure of the Lord's Prayer, and then we want to finish off looking at some of the connections between the Lord's Prayer and the Great Commission. But before we do, I think it's important to mention one thing. You may have noticed that when we read the passage, it didn't include the familiar last line, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And you might have noticed, if you had your Bible open, that your Bible may have had that in a footnote somewhere. And you might be wondering, what's going on? Are they somebody trying to take the words of Jesus out of the Bible? What is going on? I know I thought that at first. Well, what's happened is that the Greek manuscripts for the Gospel of Matthew, they have two different readings for the Lord's Prayer. They have the short version that does not contain that final doxology, and then they have the long version that does contain it. And so we're stuck wondering, well, which manuscripts have the original reading that Matthew originally wrote down? Now, the big clue that the shorter version without the doxology is the original reading is the fact that Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer does not contain that doxology at all. Luke knows of a version of the prayer without the doxology. And the other support for the shorter reading is that it's pretty easy to see why someone would add the doxology to the prayer. If you pray the Lord's Prayer without the doxology, it starts with Our Father and ends with the total opposite, the evil one. And you can just imagine some overeager scribe thinking, you know, it's kind of, this prayer ends on kind of a downer note. We want to have it end with something more upbeat. And so some scribe at some point along the way added this doxology, and we know where he got it from. We know where this doxology came from. It's based on a verse in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, which reads, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Right there it is. So in short, I'm a very conservative person myself, and I don't like people messing with the text of the Bible. And in this case, it's pretty clear that that's not what's happening. It's very clear that the NIV and other modern translations are correct in removing the doxology from Matthew 6. That doesn't mean we can't pray it with the doxology. It's a wonderful, biblical, very fitting, very beautiful doxology, very fitting way to end the Lord's Prayer. I just wanted you to be aware of why those words were not in the scripture reading we had. Let's move on to the prayer itself. First, we want to look briefly at the theology behind the Lord's Prayer, especially that very important line, "on earth as it is in heaven." Genesis 1 tells us that God created humankind to rule over the earth, to tend it, to tame it, to submit it to his will. But Adam and Eve refused to do that, and they, along with the earth that God had placed us over, went haywire. And now many people erroneously think that since then God has been in the business of saving souls so that he can scoot them off to heaven and leave planet Earth behind, and that there's no future for the planet Earth, for the creation. But what the Bible actually longs for is the reconciliation of all things in heaven and on earth that Paul talks about in Colossians. A new creation, or to be more precise, a renewed creation. Someday, Jesus will come back, what we long for in Advent, and the Lord's Prayer will become a reality. Every tongue and will confess the name of Jesus, the kingdom will be complete, and God's will be obeyed. But in the meantime, he calls us to begin that task. Jesus renews and transforms us so that we can go out and have a ministry of renewal and transformation in our world. We can be instruments of that transformation. And we Christians are to be previews of coming attractions, previews of the kingdom to come by our life, by our conduct, by the way we are. We're to sing out God's name and call others to glorify him as well. We're to recognize God's authority over us, and in evangelism we call others to recognize his authority over them. We're to do God's will, and in evangelism and missions we call others to do the same. So the Lord's Prayer has the future in mind, that day when the kingdom finally comes. But when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we're not only saying, "Hurry it up, God, bring it on. We're eager for that for you to bring that." We're also committing ourselves to making that kingdom a little bit more of a reality here and now, in our lives and in our world. The Lord's Prayer is a missionary prayer. It's a prayer that's not content to leave the people that we meet in our lives the way they are. It's a prayer that's not content to leave the world the same way we find it. It's a prayer that commits us, each of us, to call the world to bend its knees before Jesus so that everything on earth will conform to the way it is in heaven. Well, now that we've looked a little bit at the theology behind the prayer, we want to look at the structure of the prayer. This is where it really gets interesting. The first thing we notice is that while Jesus intended for this to be a prayer for individual disciples to pray on their own, the same chapter talks about praying in secret if we have to, the prayer is in the plural. Our Father. Even when we pray as individuals, we're praying as part of a family, as brothers and sisters calling out to our Heavenly Father. Now, if there's a venom that kills our love for missions, it's the individualism that says, this is my life, and I'm going to arrange my life the way I choose. When that selfish spirit takes hold, the church only fits into our lives as long as it meets our needs and isn't too demanding of us. And missions is dead last for the individualist. Because number one, it requires love. Number two, it requires sacrificial love. And number three, it requires sacrificial love of people whom we've never met. People who are unlike us, who are very different from us. People who make us feel uncomfortable and threatened. People whom we'd choose just to ignore. We'd prefer just to ignore. Or worse, criticize and condemn, rather than pray for them and love them and serve them and seek to save them. And so if you've woven yourself into a cocoon of self-centeredness but still want to claim you're a follower of Jesus, I have to be the one to bear the bad news. It just doesn't work that way. There is no me and my Father prayer. There's only the Our Father. Our lives and goals as individuals are part of and should be tied into the greater goals of God and the life and the goals of the church, the family of God. The me exists for the we and not the other way around. We pray Our Father because we're called to be part of something much, much bigger than ourselves. Now, the second thing we want to note about the structure of the Lord's Prayer is that it has six petitions or requests. And those six are divided up into two groups of three. The first three are the you requests. They're actually prayers for God. Did you ever notice that? That in the Lord's Prayer, we pray for God Himself. So you could think of these as God's own prayer requests built into the Lord's Prayer. May your name be glorified. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. And then the other three petitions are for us. They're the us prayers. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And don't lead us into trials and temptations. And so this prayer puts our needs and our prayer requests into the larger context of God's global prayer requests. The prayers that He has for our world. We don't tack God onto our lives like some kind of fifth wheel. We have to fit our lives into the plans that God has for our world. And we ask God for bread and for forgiveness and for protection and guidance so that we can get on with contributing to make God's prayer requests a reality. God wants the whole world to praise His name and acknowledge Him as King and do what He says. And so we ask for food and forgiveness and all these things so that we can get on with being a part of making those things happen. Now, the third thing to note about the structure of the Lord's Prayer is the framework around those first three petitions. And now we want to zero in on those first three petitions. And here's where our usual way of reciting the Lord's Prayer gets us into trouble. We usually say it like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pause. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Stop. But that way of dividing up the prayer obscures what it actually means. Here's how it was meant to be divided. Listen to it this way. Our Father, you who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. when we divide it up that way, we notice two things. First, we notice that those three petitions are parallel. They're actually almost synonymous, saying the same thing in three different ways. And then we also see that the heaven and earth language acts as a framework around those three petitions. Our Father is in heaven, but then we want earth to be like heaven. Our Father is in heaven, where everything goes his way, where everything goes like it should. God gets his due, and we want that to be a reality in our world and in our lives as well. Our world where everything is so screwed up, where idolatry and immorality and injustice tend to prevail. And in this prayer, we pray that God might be praised just the same way that the angels and saints praise him in heaven. And that his kingly authority might be recognized here by us here on earth, just as the elders and the living creatures cast their crowns before the throne of God. And we pray that the whole world might respond to God's will with a, yes, amen, Lord, I'm on it, just as it is in heaven. The praise, submission, and obedience of all humankind to God, on earth as it is in heaven, in practice as it is in theory, by me, by us, by all of us, right here, right now. So you can see the Lord's Prayer is a missionary prayer through and through, because it has the whole world in its vision. It commits us to proclaiming and living God's name and kingdom and will in our broken world. It gets us past that selfishness and reminds us that it's not about me, it's about we, the church, and the church in the world. It puts our own prayer requests in the context of God's larger prayer requests. And it reminds us every day of the vast discrepancy between the world as it is and the heaven that it's meant to become. A heaven that we can start living even now, shining as lights in the darkness. So we've looked at the theology behind the Lord's Prayer. We've looked a little bit at the structure of the Lord's Prayer. It should come as no surprise to us at this point that Matthew 8, the Great Commission, contains many echoes to and connections with the Lord's Prayer. The Great Commission, that passage that's so vital to the enterprise of missions, echoes the themes of the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your kingdom come. And in the Great Commission, Jesus calls us to make disciples of all nations so that the kingdoms of this world will recognize the true King and be governed by him. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, may your name be hallowed, may be glorified. And in the Lord and the Great Commission, Jesus sends us out to baptize people into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, may your will be done. And in the Great Commission, Jesus sends us to teach the nations to obey all that I have commanded. And in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, may it be on earth as it is in heaven. And in the Great Commission, Jesus reassures us and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so in the Lord's Prayer, we're begging for that day to come and for that kingdom to come. And in the Great Commission, Jesus says, don't worry, that's starting to happen already. And I'm sending you out to make it happen even more while you guys wait for me to come back. So now, if we've been tricked into praying this prayer with outdated language, about hallowing and so forth, with rhythms that obscure its meaning, mouthing the words without really thinking about them, or if we've even been convinced to let this prayer lapse into disuse in our homes and in our churches, perhaps it's because there are forces at work that are not pleased to have this missionary prayer on our lips. Perhaps it's because there really is an evil one that would keep us from longing for the world renewal that this prayer longs for. Perhaps it's because we do have spiritual adversaries who don't want us to commit to being part of the answer to these six petitions by our giving and by our going. Well, Crossroads Fellowship Church, I think it's time to start frustrating those adversaries again and getting back to praying this prayer. I think it's time to begin yearning again for the better world that this prayer holds out to us. I think it's time to start bringing that world about by submitting to God's will, to God's name, and God's kingdom by His grace and by the power of His Spirit. So if you're a big fan of missions, in conclusion, if you're a big fan of missions, won't you show it by adopting Jesus' own missionary prayer as your own? Maybe reworded in contemporary language, language that connects with you, and put it to use. And for those who don't get as worked up about missions as I do because of what I do, I'd like you to just take some time, entertain me, divulge me. Just take some time each day to pray this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And if you do that every day, I'm convinced that sooner or later, someday, Jesus' concern for God's glory and for the salvation of our world will work its way into your heart as well. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you during this Advent season, and we want to pray that your kingdom will come. We thank you for this prayer that your Son gave us, a prayer that's so short, but that's so deep and broad in its vision, and we receive it as a gift from you, and we pray it back to you now in new words. Father, we come to you as your children, and we see the heartbreaking chasm between heaven and earth, between the ideal and the real. And we long for your name to be praised. So we commit ourselves to worshiping your name as it deserves to be praised and to calling our families and friends and neighbors to sing along. We long for your kingdom to come, and so we submit to your authority and we commit ourselves to the task of summoning the people of the world to repent and to recognize you as their Savior and Lord. And we long for your will to be done, and so we commit to learning and doing your will, and we commit to promoting your justice and your compassion in our stubborn and unloving world. May you yourself bring all this about, but thank you that in the meantime you've included us in our part for bringing it about. And so to that end, we pray that you'll provide us with the food and other blessings that we need from you to strengthen us each day for the tasks you give us. We pray for your forgiveness and for the strength to forgive others. And we pray that you might frustrate the evil one, removing the temptations and troubles from our path, clearing the way before us so that we might continue unimpeded toward the glorious future you hold out to us. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, Lord, may we come to you and may we shine with your light in our world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, David. Good stuff. If you want to listen to it again, it is online, and I want to thank our media team for doing that, but take advantage of that as well. Thank you very much for this morning. At this time, the offering is going to be taken. The offering is for benevolence, and as the offering is taken, please pass the friendship folders. If you're visiting with us, please add your information to that so we can get a hold of you. Thank you. So we're going to pray together now, and we're going to end our prayer with the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to try to do it the way we were just taught. And if we do it wrong, you'll let us know with the right spacing. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made, and you've called us to rejoice and be glad in it. And we know in this Advent season, Lord, it is the season of joy. And as your people, it is a life of joy. Even as we face hardship and sadness in various forms, it is overshadowed by the great joy of your Son coming into the world, taking the penalty that was due us, taking it to the grave, rising again. And for us that have believed, we thank you that we have died with him and were raised again to newness of life and now seated with him in heavenly places. We thank you, Jesus, for your victory. And in your victory, Lord, we pray that you would be with Bee's family with the passing of her sister-in-law. We know that family has faced a lot of loss this year, and we pray for comfort upon them. We pray with Diane McFarland. We pray for her mother-in-law and healing upon her body, we do ask, Lord God. We pray for Darlene's brother, Jerry. In these very difficult days, we ask for peace for him. Lord, continue to encourage him as most likely he will soon meet you, very soon. We pray that you would give comfort to their family as well. We pray for Rodney Spoolstra's foot healing upon the pain he's in right now, Lord. Lord, we give you praise with the Altanas for Brett's continued healing. We ask for a good full bill of health, Lord, following the malaria he's been dealing with. We thank you for the offering today and the work of our church, the specific work of our deacons as they distribute these funds. We thank you, Lord, for the work you've given us to do. Even beyond the work of distributing funds, Lord, the work you've given us to serve at the food shelf tomorrow night, at the food pantry at the end of this month, and all the various ministries, Lord, from Bible studies to small groups, to those that pray unseen, to those that clean when nobody's here, to our media crew who keeps the online content up and running, all those that we don't see behind the scenes, we thank you for their work, Lord. We thank you for the jobs you've given us to do, Lord, and we pray this morning for those in the financial sectors. We ask that you be with them, even as they contemplate changes in the near future. For those that are in the education system, we pray blessing upon their work. Lord, we thank you for all that you've given us to do. We thank you for those that you have placed to lead, Lord, from the home to national levels. We pray for our president and vice president, Lord. We pray for leaders around the world. And we do thank you, Jesus, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank you, Lord God, for revealing yourself to us. Lord, as we are now prepared to pray the Lord's Prayer, you've also, this morning through Reverend David's message, reminded us to pray for them as we think of the Lord's Prayer too. And we do pray for their ministry. We pray for Blanca's ministry with the children. Be with those kids, Lord, that often come hungry, not only for food, but ultimately for you. And I pray that you would continue to feed them through her ministry, through Reverend David, Lord, and his teaching and discipleship, Lord. We ask that you would bless the work continually that you have given him to do. And thank you for blessing us today. And so we close by praying as you've taught us to pray, and now pausing after each stanza. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a couple of announcements before we close. And if you have any announcements, come forward at this time. Again, a reminder, everyone's invited to Sunday School with the Giffords in the Fireside Room. Take note of the announcements in the bulletin. We do have a Christmas Eve service. We're going to do 9 lessons and carols, what we did last year. So join us for that Christmas Eve service. We will have communion and end with a candlelight service that night. Christmas caroling tonight. I hope you participate with us. If you have any questions, talk to Winnie. And again, the food shelf tomorrow night. It's going to be busy in the church. We have basketball practice, council, and food shelf. But if you haven't served in the food shelf yet, take an opportunity to do it. It's a great, great chance to serve our community. Any other announcements? John.
This Friday we have the shelter dinner. It's at 5:45. Thank you so much for everyone who has committed to donating food. I know we have quite a bit already. Just a few slots left for cooked beef or pork. We do need some more volunteers, so if you and your family want to get in the Christmas spirit for the weekend, we would love to have you down there. It's usually pretty quick, so 5:45, we're usually done by 7. It's a fun experience, especially this time of year. We'd love to have you. Thank you.
So this Friday night downtown, join us. It is a blessing as well. Any other announcements? All right, would you stand for the benediction? From Numbers chapter 6, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Guiding light that brought us today to our Savior.